The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro Collins Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're having a look at lithium, specifically in the US, with last year's IPO, Chariot Corporation. Code is CC9, trading at around 23 cents today for a market cap of 34 million. And I understand it's still carrying upwards of $7.5 million. So got plenty of cash to get on with its programs in the US. And to bring us up to speed with what its core projects are and what the outlook is, we have the managing director with us today, Shantar Pathmanathan. Interesting one, this. You've got the two core projects. Let's start with the first one. There's a bit of news flow around this. The claystone in there in Nevada, Oregon, specifically in the McDermott caldera, where Lithium Americas has its Thacker Pass and the ASX listed Jindalee as its McDermott project. What have you guys got there? What are you up to? And what's the forward outlook there?
Barry, thanks for having me on. Firstly, Resurgent is one of our two core projects, arguably a number two compared to Black Mountain, which we'll talk about shortly. The McDermott caldera, I consider the Saudi Arabia of lithium in the future. The reason I say in the future is because as the market grows, it's going to require larger scale supply volumes. At this stage, the market isn't of that size, so it's adequately satisfied through hard rock lithium and brine. But claystone will become another brine type large scale supply option for the market. So the McDermott caldera is the world's largest endowment of claystone hosted lithium. It was drilled by Chevron in the 70s for uranium. They found some showings of uranium, but extremely high grades of lithium. Back then, it wasn't of any use. Lithium Americas, our neighbor there, is developing the first claystone-hosted lithium line on the planet. Jindalee, to the north of the caldera, has got a resource. The caldera straddles Oregon and Nevada. The Oregon part, we think, is going to be somewhat frustrated by politics in Oregon, which prevent that from being developed into a mine. Nevertheless, the mineralization is also there. So this caldera, if you like, is the top of an ancient volcano, the mouth of a volcano that's collapsed into itself. The volcano erupted with extremely lithium-rich magmas, and that's over some 12 million years concentrated in certain parts of that top of that volcano, the caldera, which turned into a lake, and that's what we're all playing in at the moment. So as in all, that'll be Lithium Americas, which is New York Stock Exchange listed, developing the Thacker Pass project at a cost of $2.6 billion US dollars. That's partly funded by General Motors through a $650 million commitment from GM. Part of that goes towards them securing offtake rights, the balance contribution towards the project development, and a loan from the Loans Program Office of the United States government. So a loan from the US government of $2.26 billion to finance that development. So that'll be the first claystone-hosted lithium mine on the planet to come on stream, and that's expected to happen 3 years from now. So with this loan from the government, that project can proceed to construction. Ground was broken about a year ago, that they've set up all the necessary infrastructure there for construction. Construction will now commence with this funding in place.
Right, so obviously big news in the US lithium scene. Is there anything in particular investors here need to know about claystone lithium developments, given that most of the knowledge here, I guess, is based around hard rock that comes out of, well, spodumene concentrates that come out of WA? What are the main differences, I guess?
So the main differences are currently all of the lithium in the world is being sourced from hard rock lithium and brine. Yeah, so lithium in salt solution, generally in Chile and Argentina for brine, and then Western Australia for hard rock lithium. The industry is very small, Barry. So currently it's satisfied by relatively a small level of supply. The industry is set to become a very large industry to rival the oil industry in the future. So as it grows, it'll need larger scale supply options going forward. Claystone hosted lithium is orders of magnitude larger than hard rock lithium in terms of scale. So in terms of, but it's lower grade. So naturally the world has defaulted to hard rock lithium because it's a higher grade, typically lower cost product. But Claystone hosted lithium has a huge scale advantage. So in terms of the lithium carbonate equivalent resource, a Claystone hosted lithium resource in the McDermott Caldera, the two resources there, they sit at around 20 million tonnes, roughly 20 million tonnes each. Pilbara Minerals, on the other hand, is 8.9 million tonnes. So it's about 2.5 times the size of Pilbara Minerals in terms of each of those resources. So that's where my argument comes into play, that as the world's lithium market grows, they will need larger scale supply options.
What about your own project there, Resurgent? You have drilled some wells, you've confirmed mineralization. Where's it at and what do you see the forward program there?
Barry, as I said, this is an ancient paleo lake, right, inside a super volcano. We're all basically all targeting the lake sediments, the clays, that the sediments which have lithified into clay and been enriched with lithium. We've got the second largest land position in the McDermott Caldera. We have done a Fortescue Metals type play and encroached on the two incumbents 3 years ago, admittedly, and ended up with the second largest land position in the largest claystone-hosted lithium endowment on the planet. We have done some surface, the ore body is outcropping over many hundreds of meters at our property, especially at Resurgent North. We've got the second largest land position. We've tested the outcrops, right? So where they outcrop laterally over hundreds of meters. The sampling or the testing has come back extremely positive. So we have gotten back better than ore grade results at surface. The next step for us will be to go and drill, and we are currently considering a small program in the upcoming North American summer. So in around June to August this year, we'll be commencing a small diamond core drilling program to test what we're seeing at surface, which is better than ore grade surface samples.
So this claystone horizon is what, laterally extensive and nice and thick with 1,000 plus ppm sort of grains, roughly?
Yeah, the best way to think about it is these are sort of table-like structures, right? And they're basically the bed of an ancient lake, so they're fairly horizontal. We have got land adjacent to Jindalee's property in Oregon to the north. We've also got land neighboring Thacker Pass, Lithium Americas, to the south and east. So we've captured basically one part of this lake, the second largest land position in this lake. And these are similar to other, you know, horizontal sort of structures, you know, such as coal. These are essentially seams, and the seams are poking out through the various sediments that are sitting on top of them, and they're poking out at surface, so which makes, you know, exploration and geology relatively more manageable.
You mentioned a drilling program or a smallish drilling program coming up. That's to, you're zeroing in on what I presume you think is might be the higher grade portion of the system there, or what is the theory behind this drilling program?
Correct, Barry. So we've sampled it. We've taken some 350 samples at Resurgent North in particular, next door to Jindalee. So the idea would be to confirm what we are seeing at surface, to confirm that it extends at depth, and it'll be diamond drill cores drilled. It'll be basically vertical holes, a number of vertical holes. It's meant to be, it looks like it's going to be a fairly straightforward program. We'll be drilling into fairly soft geology. So, looking at about 1,500 meters of drilling coming up in the next 3 or 4 months.
It's got a pretty cool name, Resurgent Project. Why Resurgent?
The caldera basically collapsed when it first exploded into itself, creating a massive sort of depot center or a crater-like shape. As the magma chamber underneath it recharged with magma, the middle of it pushed back up, creating a resurgent dome. And we're all sitting on the moat lake, so moat like in castle and moat, around the resurgent dome. And we've got some part of it. So this is just to signify that resurgent dome in the middle.
There we go. All right. Now let's switch over, and you mentioned earlier at the moment the Black Mountain Hard Rock Project in Wyoming is probably the flagship. You've been drilling there. What's the story at Black Mountain?
Black Mountain, we think, is going to become a monumental mine in the US. We have hit ore-grade lithium. We've hit copper, zinc, and lead at pretty reasonable grades as well. And there's fire assays out for gold. So it is a mountain structure sitting in the middle of the prairies in Wyoming. The geology is associated with that mountainous structure. There's obviously been something that's made it resist the weathering around it, the prairies being fairly weathered down. So this mountainous structure has resisted billions of years of weathering. We think the lithium was impregnated into it a couple of billion years ago, and then there was a second event which impregnated the base metals into it. So the early days, but we're speculating a possible shear-hosted structure or VMS structure for the base metals, and that was a totally separate event to the lithium that would have occurred at around the same time as the West Australian lithium properties intruding into their structures. So Black Mountain is a very exciting project, potentially a future polymetallic mine sitting in the middle of the US, and that has obvious benefits, being a potential mine in the middle of the US.
And Chantal, you hinted earlier that Wyoming was a bit more mining friendly than down there in, Oregon.
Wyoming has a number of positive attributes. Resources is its second largest contributor to GDP, Wyoming's GDP. It is extremely lowly populated. It's one of the Midwestern states. For an American state, it's extremely lowly populated. So population there is about 600,000 people for the whole state. Politics is favorable. As I said, it's a resource state. So it provides a great pathway for development. And there's some other activity there as well currently. It has a history of coal, uranium, oil and gas production, but there's been some rare earth discoveries there recently. And we have taken nearly all of the observable pegmatites at surface. So we've got some 700 pegmatites at our properties. We've got 7 projects there. We've done deals to acquire 2 of these properties, Black Mountain and Copper Mountain. The other ones we preemptively staked, knowing that once we'd started drilling and putting results out, our competition would be close behind. So we preemptively moved on basically the entire pegmatite province in Wyoming, USA.
Black Mountain's, I think you've recently reported to the ASX a number of holes. It seems to be shallow, high-grade spodumene, which everyone here would understand. One of the intersections was 15.5 meters at 1.1% lithium, leaving a nice 4 meter section at 2.46. So everything the investor market here understands about WA can be transferred to this Black Mountain project as you push it forward.
Barry, so this is very similar to the earlier results of companies such as Liontown, Azua in particular, Latin Resources in Brazil. So what we have basically done, this was with some serious constraints. So we're in the middle of winter. We completed our IPO in October, late October last year. So October 27, we got listed, which meant that, you know, we had 2 choices, either sit on the cash until the North American summer or get on with it in the middle of winter with a winter drilling program. We chose the winter drilling program route. -20 Fahrenheit temperatures, extremely high wind chill factor. We nevertheless got on with it. We also had a 5-acre disturbance limit because we had to get effectively a rush permit for drilling. We'll now be applying for 2,500 acres of disturbance. Our property is some 3,000 acres. So the next drill program will be much more comprehensive. This was literally to test our thesis, seeing some 40 outcropping pegmatites at surface with ore grade spodumene at surface. We had best results of 6.68% lithium oxide before drilling. So we had a number of other results in that order. We went back, and with this drilling, we literally wanted to test the depth extension of these pegmatites we were seeing at surface. So what we have intended to do and what we have achieved is to intersect the outer branches of this pegmatite system. And that has been done. So the first three drill holes have come in the order of 15 to 18 meters of intersections, all above cutoff grade for lithium oxide. So it's all above 0.8%. One of the better results was 15.48%. So 15.48 meters at 1.12% lithium oxide from 4.27 meters from surface. So if we've intersected the outer branches of the pegmatite system, if you like, we haven't yet reached the stock of the pegmatite system where the greatest endowment of lithium is going to be. But that's work to be done in the upcoming North American summer.
Now, Shanta, obviously, we're all aware the lithium market came crashing back to earth last year. Lithium prices off 80%. Rebuilding in the opening months of the year, I guess, given what you were saying earlier, this is people should think about lithium being a long-term story, so not that there's too much wrong with current prices, but I was just wondering how you see the lithium market panning out in the years to come.
I suspect there's going to be some challenges shorter term, right? So the market is somewhat well supplied or oversupplied short term. I've been out to some of the swing production facilities in Africa. They're all on care and maintenance. So as this price starts to trickle higher, move higher, I suspect some of that swing capacity is going to come back on and then sort of, you know, pull back the price again a little bit. That all said, we're dealing with the law of small numbers. So lithium is going to be the first, in my view, the first $1 trillion metals market. Oil is a $5 trillion economy market globally, right? Metals and mining as a composite is only $2 trillion. And lithium shares the benefit of being a consumer product, albeit somewhat longer life than oil. Oil gets consumed almost instantly. Lithium is, you know, sort of a 5-year cycle consumer product. So I think longer term, and we're dealing with the very early stages of this play. So short term, I think, you know, we're dealing with small numbers and we're somewhat oversupplied. Longer term, there's a massive deficit. And in particular in the US, which we see delinking from China over the next 5 to 10 years, we see a tremendous deficit there. And that's why we're focused on the US.
So we might be going over some old ground here discussed earlier, Shanta, but I was just wondering, can we pull it all together now and give investors a feel for what milestones and potential re-rating events that could unfold as the year passes?
Barry, firstly, to complete the phase one program, we'll be putting out the final results from the phase one drilling program. So we've drilled a total of 9 holes. We've announced 3. The balance will be announced to the market shortly. We have, with this latest set of results, done systematic sampling for base metals. Initially, we did only selective sampling for base metals. We've also systematically sampled for gold. So in addition to the lithium, which we are seeing in certain parts of the hole, and then separately, we're seeing the base metals and gold. So in addition to the lithium, we will be announcing some base metals and potentially gold intersections as well. We will be commencing a program at the Resurgent Lithium Project in Nevada and Oregon. So that will be announced at some point this year. That'll happen over the North American summer. We will be going back to Black Mountain for a second round of drilling, potentially this time with a much larger disturbance area. We're looking for 2,500 acres of disturbance as opposed to the 5-acre permit we initially had for the program started last year. So investors can expect significant drilling activity and news flow, and potentially Black Mountain heading towards a maiden resource towards the end of this year.
There we go, folks. An interesting story across both hard rock and claystone lithium in the biggest of the big markets there, the US, obviously with its auto industry and its gigafactories, battery gigafactories, lots of government support through the IRA. So definitely one to watch and in coming months. And with that, Shantar, good luck with it all. Be watching with interest.
Great. Thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.